The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 308. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vail.
Aliens are real.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Brian Manjoma.
I'm here on time.
And where's our music coming from, anyway? And we got a very special guest for you tonight. Joining us once again.
Hello, guys.
What is going on? Yo, by the way, we're having some weird technical. Did you guys hear that shit?
I don't hear anything.
I don't hear nothing, man.
I don't hear anything. You good?
Yeah.
No, I hear like some weird music. I don't know if it's coming from.
Oh, like, maybe you're a browser. One of your browsers.
Yeah, that's
a...
what I thought.
Maybe, well, maybe an auto video browser.
What's the one that's either a browser thing or some shit was going on outside my fucking window right now?
The thing is that the chat would probably hear what you're hearing.
Yeah. Well, if they, yes, you know, if you guys heard anything in the chat, let me know, man. I was like, yo, what's up? Fucking music's going on in the background. What's going on here, people? You know? Anyway, we're back with another one. Yo, by the way, quick fun story, right? So I was talking to Taylor earlier today, right? And she was like, are we good for tonight? I'm like, the fuck's going on tonight? Because what happened was a couple weeks ago, was it a month ago, we were talking about PlayStation 2 anniversary. You're like, you're The Verge, you're going to have a bunch of dope coverage. I'm like, and then you're like, are you guys going to do any for a third? I'm like, no, but we probably should. Like, you down? You want to come on? He's like, yeah, I'll come on. Totally forgot. Completely forgot. But like I was telling her before, I was like, yeah, I could talk about the PlayStation at the drop of a dime. So I don't need no preparation for that shit. So we'll be talking about the PlayStation 2 later tonight. A lot of crazy stuff happened this week. But before that, Taylor, how have you been? It's been a little while since you've been here. What's been going on with you in the world of Verge?
Oh, man, I've just been, yeah, it's just been busy in a good way. Just been working hard. I'm working on a lot of creative projects right now for my job. I'm pretty excited for it. One of them actually went up today. Tony, I think I sent you the link. A couple of my colleagues and myself, we did like a nice little long form, just kind of explain like why we all thought like as a collective, like now is like a great time to be a gamer. I wrote like a blurb about how video games had become like a de facto social hub. And just kind of felt like kind of spoke my piece on it. But there's like a bunch of other like stuff that we talked about. Like, you know, we talked about VR. We talked about Nintendo. We talked about how like things like Xbox Game Pass and like how all this stuff that's going on all right now is just like, if you're not a gamer now, why are like you should be. I'll send the link out. If you want to share it with your readers later, you certainly can. But it was a really great piece. I really like it. I know we have a lot of other stuff cooking in the pipeline leading up to like next gen and like during next gen week and stuff like that. So definitely keep an eye out on theverge.com if you're interested in just checking that stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, this is the season, right? The busy season. So we're all going to be cranking out a lot of stuff. You know, so very, very exciting. What is going on, Blitz? Man, we already got people in the chat. You already know, man. Okay, before we start, a couple of things. I want to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to You Should Know Me Too, a.k.a. D's Nuts 83, who won a PlayStation 5 from us, man. This guy, we made his fucking year, right? Now, here's something cool about this cat.
Oh, yeah.
I am glad he won. This guy is a truck driver. He is one of the people that has kept us alive during the Rona. He hasn't stopped working. He's been doing his thing the whole time, shipping things to people. And obviously, you know, delivery men have become very, very important during all this. So it's really cool that, you know, through this contest, we were able to give this console away to this guy. We didn't know what he did, obviously, because it was all random and stuff, you know, so very cool. He's one of our regulars and stuff. I find it so ironic that the contest winner for Throwdown is named D's Nuts. It's fucking beautiful. It's fucking beautiful, you know.
Preserve for prosperity on YouTube as well as on our Twitter, on our Twitter front page.
It was awesome just the way it pops up because of that wheel, and then it spins mm-hmm. and then it just throws the name up, and then it's like, all right, who's gonna win? So everyone is like focused to see, and they're like, mm-hmm. these nuts,
got him.
There you go.
The funny thing is, because I know him as you should know me too from the Twitch chat. I didn't know his Twitter, mm-hmm. so I was like, oh, and for a second, I was like, oh, fuck. Did we just get trolled right now? Thankfully, Carlos was like, oh, I know him. I know him. I'm like, oh, thank goodness, you know? So mm-hmm. he is not actually going to be able to play his PlayStation 5 until December because he, for the next 3 months, he's going to be delivering shit all across the western part of the country and stuff.
That's what I was going to ask if he's a cross country mm-hmm. trucker. Cause
he's doing like, you know, he's driving up the coast and stuff, basically up America, mm-hmm. yeah, up to, you know, fucking Alaska and all that, you know, where I'm not going to get into that, but yeah. So when he gets home, you know, December, he will have a nice PlayStation 5 waiting for him. So that's dope, you know? And speaking about that, speaking about contest people, we are going to be launching Next Gen November. I already gave you a little tease over on our YouTube. So basically every single week of November, we're going to be giving away a free Next Gen video game. There's going to be a video up. It's probably already up by the time you guys are watching this episode or listening to it. But we got a couple more rules for you to follow. But it's going to be fun every single week of November, which is going to be every single... It's going to be three Thursdays and then one Wednesday. The reason the last week is on Wednesday is because of Thanksgiving, you know. But,
Thanksgiving.
Yep. But that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll give you more details about that in an upcoming video. But, you know, you want to be following us on Twitch and Twitter and all that other good stuff. Because Throwdown, we got you covered, man. You got Next Gen Systems. We got Next Gen Note. Why am I getting messages right now during the fucking show? People are like, yo, what do I do on Thursdays? Anyway.
They're like, yo, what you doing?
Yeah, right. Anyway, man, so let's talk about the big story of the week, man. Cyberpunk 2077 has been delayed again, bruh. Again.
But why was it delayed?
What's it? They just need us to do more testing on it, right?
It's only a month. It's not a big gap. It's not like, oh, it could be announced.
Nothing big.
It's literally the day. It's literally the day zero patch. So when you turn the thing on, it's whatever it's going to do initially.
Yeah.
So that gets me interested as to what state the game will be when you don't put the patch in, because that's optional.
It'll be like all the other games, broken on the disc.
Yeah. One thing I found interesting was they said that the PC version of the game is done. They just need mm-hmm. to fix it for current gen, not next gen, current gen. What I tell you guys, man, he's constantly going to be holding things back. But let's start with you, Taylor, since you're a guest. What are your thoughts on the game getting delayed again after it already went gold? Because usually when games go gold, that is it, you know? And even CD Projekt Red said, no more delays. We're shipping this shit out.
So what's your take? I mean, okay, look, I have a whole bunch of feelings. And, like, I know you and I have talked about this before, especially, like, with, like, the crunch thing and stuff. And there's just a lot of, like... I don't know. There's a lot of feelings I have about this. First off, I am not surprised that they are delaying it because of, like, just optimizing the current gen versions. Because, like, I mean, this isn't, like, new. Like, remember when, was it Mortal Kombat 10, when that came out and they launched it on, like, the next gen consoles first, but then they were going to put it on, like, PS3 and Xbox 360, and then they eventually canceled those versions. I was like, they weren't launching the same day. They're like, oh, well, we're going to cancel them now. I was like, okay, well, it makes sense now, just, like, hardware limitations and things like that. And, it, you know, I always, so with the thing of just, like, saying, like, gone gold, I know we always, like, everybody hears that, they're like, okay, so there's no more delays, and, like, we always think that, but, like, I guess, like, when you think about the concept of just, like, all the content is there, it's not like they're saying, oh, we're adding in, like, new finalized story stuff and things like that, it's just, like, they just want to make sure the game's, you know, functional. And, you know, I've talked a little bit about it on my Twitter, and, like, it always sucks, and I saw something yesterday about developers were getting, from CD Projekt Red, were getting death threats because they had to cancel a game. Not okay, don't do that. Like, yeah, does it suck that a game gets delayed? Like, I know a lot of people have been anticipating this game probably longer than me, but I'm gonna say how I always say it for every game that gets delayed. Like, yes, it sucks that a game gets delayed, but, like, look on the bright side. The game isn't canceled. It's not like it's canceled. It's not like, you know, and it's, you know, it's still going to come out. You just have to wait just a little bit longer. And, like, people can say what they want about, you know, delays suck and they suck and they suck and they should never happen. But it's like, I would rather have a game that is optimized and playable at launch than to have have some sort of like fiasco, like, you know, I could list off a handful of games. Like, it's just like, would you rather have a game that actually works, or would you rather complain, you know, drop what, $60 on a game and then put it in, launch the game, and then it's barely playable? Like, I mean, you gotta choose your battles here. I mean, a delay is a good thing, even though you're gonna have to wait just a little bit longer for a game. Like, there's always gotta be that silver lining, and people need to understand that these are developers too. Like, they're humans. You don't need to treat them like crap just because you're upset about something, because there are greater tragedies in the world, and it's just kind of silly to cherry pick and really pick a battle over something that's not really that deep.
It's funny with CD Projekt Red. It seems like they can't get a break on anything on this. It's like, the game's not coming out. The game is getting delayed. Ah, rage. Oh, you can't do this again. Ah, rage. Oh, you can't do. It's like, guys, I know it's anticipated. I know it's all this stuff, but give these guys a break. You know, it just seems like every single moment there's something that people are angry about Cyberpunk for.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, to add some context, right? Back in the day when a game went gold, right, that meant that the disc was pressed and they're finished, right? They could go home, see their families, right? That's not the case anymore, right? Even if when a game goes gold, the game is still being worked on. Why do you think we have day one patches and all that, right? So what this proves to me is, like, a game going gold, it's a nice little, like, moment or whatever, but it's not necessary because work is still done not only at when the game comes out, but way afterwards. The development doesn't stop anymore. So we can't really take that as a big, like, barometer like we used to, you know?
Yeah, and also keep in mind, there is a global pandemic going on. Yeah. The fact that they are still managed to release this game this year is still incredible, and nobody's really talking about that, but they should be talking about it, because, like, I can't even imagine how much work goes into game development just, like, in a normal year, let alone during a pandemic. And yet it's not like it got delayed to 2021 like a couple other games. Like, this game is still coming out this year, like, and they've spent most of that year working from home. That is impressive, and they really deserve a pat on the back for that. Like,
yeah,
come on now, guys. Like, yeah, I mean, give them a break. I know it's delayed. It sucks. It's 21 days. It's not that deep. Now, if they said, oh, it's coming out in March 2021, I could see why people would really be upset. But again, like, no reason to be sending.
Just give it time.
Yeah, just give it time. Let it cook a little in the oven a little bit more.
Copyright.
It's all right. You can
sing it.
Yeah, DMCA, man. Chill. But here's the thing, though. Unfortunately, the game won't be eligible for the Game Awards this year.
I don't think it would have been considered anyway.
No, it would have.
So
yeah,
too close.
I think it's funny. So,
yeah, go ahead, bro.
It's funny how we had a topic, I don't know, was it a week or two ago, talking about how let the developers celebrate their game going gold. I guess they weren't celebrating anything. I think they were working for most of that time.
That's a fact. By the way, I just read this tonight. Apparently, a lot of developers were kind of like blindsided by the delay. They were like, "Oh shit, we're delayed!" Like they had no idea, you know, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, so this game is the game that keeps on delaying. Yes. So I wouldn't be surprised if it gets delayed again. I'm not gonna be as highly anticipated as I was before, because I just don't know when it's gonna come, and I don't want to be disappointed.
Don't worry about it. We got Call of Duty, so we'll.
Yeah. I'm gonna make the
next gen consoles.
You got, okay. Exactly. I'm gonna make the obligatory. This game's gonna be delayed until 2077 joke right now. Bam. There you go.
So I mean, yeah, and I guess that's the good thing. It's like next gen's coming out, Miles Morales and Demon Souls and
Bugsnax
and Bugsnax for free, like all that.
Yeah, free on PS5. Like, if you need a reason to be get a PS5. Like early adopters.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, PS Plus. Yeah, fuck Cyberpunk. Fuck Cyberpunk. It's all about Bugsnax.
Yeah. Talk about Bugsnax.
You know, Brian, get in here, man, since you're a resident CD Projekt Red fan. What's your take on this? Fan of the day. I'm sad. I'm trying to give him a little leeway there, you know? Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I already said my piece, like, last week when I said, like, if the game gets delayed, like the day before, then I don't care. I really don't mind if the game gets delayed. That's fine with me.
There's not enough rage coming from you, Brian.
Because I understand that game development is not an easy thing, and game getting delayed is a good thing because it means that they have more time to work on it. That's less stress for them. So yeah, that's fine.
Let us also remind, I'd rather have the game be done
when it comes out than be like a broken mess like other games. Like, I'd rather
No.
Like, what happened to games working on day one anymore? Like, everyone just seems to be like, I want the game now. It's like, fucking just wait. Just be patient.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's just the weird thing here is the game was delayed after it went gold. So it's not giving the developers more time. This is a delay of basically just upper management mishandling something or promising too much and cutting their lines too tight. Like, I don't think that's a big deal that shit happens.
They had said that the whole point is that they need to work on the current gen systems because they're just not up to polish yet. So hence they're going
to just thought of this now or
the current game stuff. Sorry?
Wait, so they're working on the upgrade after the game goes gold. I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, well, they've always been doing this.
Well, the upgrade, you know, the super upgrade, that's coming later. They already said that.
So the game went gold, and then it was delayed. So I don't think it was delayed to give the developers more time because it was delayed after the developers had, you know, finished and hands off.
Remember, Brett, so, like I said, going gold doesn't really mean much anymore because they're still working on the game. And, you know, it just meant
that they pressed the discs and sent over a close to finished file.
Going gold back in the day meant development was done. Nowadays, it just means they press a disc. Development continues, you know?
So then one of two things happened. They're kind of misleading their customers. Or they just, you know, somewhere in there they hit a shipping thing where they couldn't manufacture, they couldn't ship because, you know, they had the pandemic. They couldn't find people quick enough to fucking press the discs or something like that. And
we just said it wasn't. They had nothing to do with pressing discs. The current gen is the problem.
Current gen's the issue.
PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. They essentially finished off the PC version and essentially are doing optimizing it for the previous generation.
Okay.
So there was no disk problems or anything. It was just that, okay, we got to tweak this thing so that it runs properly on the old things.
So Brett, I think what happened here is they had a deadline and they're like, oh shit, let's get our latest code and put it on this disk so it can get ready for manufacturing and distribution, and we'll work on the tons of bugs or whatever the hell we're working on and get that on the day zero patch. And
see, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like a little fuck up by somebody in upper management who promised a little too much. Like, oh yeah, I can get it by then, tells the developers, they like, I only can try, and then they get what they get, and then, you know, they're like, oh shit, there's a bug in it, you know, et cetera, whatever.
Yeah, they clearly
mismanagement, but it's not that's not like a horrible crime. You have somebody that overpromised in your employ. That shit happens.
Well, the thing is, I mean, especially with a huge game like that, I mean, like, I mean, to be honest, like, it's either that or put a Bethesda game out.
Really? Okay.
Where everything is real broken.
Okay. Real talk.
Especially, you know, like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, again, when it comes to doing a lot of things in games, people are pretty forgiving. As long as the beginning part doesn't glitch out, your people are fine with it, right? You know, as long as the character creator doesn't explode in an Elder Scrolls game, I think people are pretty cool.
As long as it, you know, doesn't affect your, like, if it continually crashes the game, that'll make you hate it, like Tony. But
yeah,
as long as it doesn't affect play, most people don't really care. But the thing I want to say is, like, let's all be honest here. This is their first big AAA title. They're like, The Witcher is an awesome.
What?
Witcher 3 is pretty.
Are you crazy?
I think The Witcher 3. Yeah, I think
The Witcher 3 is their biggest.
I'll say this though, their biggest AAA project post Witcher 3, because The Witcher 3.
Okay, let's go with that.
I mean, it put them on the map.
They've not had anything since The Witcher 3.
Yeah. I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole. Brett, continue with your point.
Just let me finish. Okay. Yeah, you're taking it wrong. And this is the first big game in the sense that it's like getting so many simultaneous platform releases, right? Like it, the Witcher did not release across this many consoles or this many platforms all at once.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a new thing. It's something that they're trying to get a handle on, but it's a very complicated issue. I just bet the scope of this is larger than anything they've done before. And I'm sure they want to tighten, you know, they want to dot every I and cross every T and make sure that this game is fantastic because it's like their big reveal. Everyone's like, oh man, I've heard of CD Projekt Red. I know they did The Witcher, blah, blah, blah. This is coming out. This is going to be a whole different league for them. And so I'm sure they want to make a good impression.
Yeah. Now, you know,
take your time. Do it right.
Yeah. By the way, this is what I think happened. Conspiracy theory. I think the Stadia version's fucking the shit up, man. That's what's going on.
Well, I mean, it's coming on some other. It's coming on GeForce Now too, I believe.
Oh wow, really? So it's damn, it's on everything.
At one point, I think it was supposed to be at GeForce Now on launch day, which was I don't even remember which launch day it was because I know it's been deleted.
But that links.
We're not talking about that.
What the GeForce Now version? Isn't that
just put that shit on Amazon Luna, man? Let's go. Anyway, go ahead, Adam.
Okay, so I mean, with GeForce Now, it's linked with Epic and Steam, so it just lets it play from those. Because remember, GeForce, they decided to close their store. They were going to have their own store. So it's just using the Steam version or the Epic version. I don't know if it's available on both storefronts or if it's just one or the other, but that shouldn't be an issue then.
Yeah, so I think Stadia, you know, the PS4 and Xbox One and the next gen are all that, it's like, are all the dynamics. Yeah, I mean, I understand.
The
Switch
version, that's why they were going to drop that bomb on us. They're like, oh, and it's for Switch. Oh, and we got Mario in it. He's one of the characters. Play with Keanu. That'd be cool.
I understand them needing time for this game because it's an ambitious game. I mean, it's already taken, 10 years to make this game?
I don't know how long. It's been a while.
Give or take 2 days or 3 days in between.
Yeah.
Like, when was that first trailer? I was like,
I already see Taylor over there looking that shit up.
I'm curious myself.
It's been a minute.
Like
Spike TV.
It was like pre-production after they finished like Blood and Wine. Like it is early as like 2016. It's been that was pre-production.
2013, by the way.
Like 2016. Like after like the
that trailer showed up in 2013. They did that first.
Yeah, they like announced it. Like wow. I think before Witcher 3 came out.
Yeah, I just. Yeah,
that's crazy.
The whole development history for this game is just
Samuel Jackson was hyped for that on stage.
Yeah.
By the way, this is the reason because we on the last episode of Throw Out Questions, we were asked how come we can't have video games be like movies where they announce the release date and the time. It's like this is why game development is a whole different beast, man. It is a whole different beast, you know.
Anything can happen in game development.
Yeah, and it's game development could be quantified and everything went perfectly on schedule, if you know you were able to lock down storylines and all kinds of other things and hold the system, that doesn't happen. Things always change. Things always, you know, sometimes these companies be like, hey, you know, we were going in one direction, we decided to scrap the whole thing. I mean, there are plenty of video game stories out there. You know, talking about like games like Resident Evil 4, where there's a whole different version of that game that existed.
It's like technically like 2, right? Like, ended up being Devil May Cry.
Resident Evil 2 was, there's also 2 versions of that game where there's the one version and then the one that we got.
Yeah, so yeah, game development is not like, think about it like this, right? The Uncharted movie, they finished filming it already. They filmed it during the Rona. Think about it. Movie development is a streamlined process, very scientific, right? Video games are a whole different thing. Cyberpunk is a perfect example of that, you know?
I mean, we could go on for hours of so many different games that like had to start from scratch. Like Final Fantasy 15, how many years has that game been in development? At one point, the concept of it ended up being a whole new IP, but we're not going to talk about Parasite Eve right now because I got feelings about that.
Yeah, we're not going to go into it. Yeah. No, you're right. But think about it. Even Final Fantasy Remake had to be redone from scratch. It's like, that's how it is. You know? But, you know, again, you know, if you guys saw my Tony's take on this, you know, my thoughts. I don't care. You know, I'm gonna play the game eventually, but I'm not hyped for it or whatever. Too many, you know, I'm kind of open world fatigued out here. But you know, delay it if you need to. You know, make the game right because this is the game everybody's looking forward to. You know, so yeah, get it right, no problem. You know, but I do want to touch on the death threats things. Like, okay, let's go through this logically, right? I know there's no logic with death threats, but let's go through this logically, right? Okay, we delayed the game. Oh, you delayed the game? We're going to kill you. You realize if you kill the developers, the game is going to come out. So how does this work? You know,
yes, because the guy said he's a programmer. He could finish it. So he will kill him, replace him, and do the job.
It just reminds me of, like, you know, remember, I don't know if this happened with you guys, you know, Tony lives in the ghetto, right? Like, you know, somebody would lock the door on somebody. Yo, open that door before I beat your ass. I'm like, you can't beat his ass if you can't open the fucking door, bruh. Like, so it's like, you can't get the game if you kill the developer. Yeah. Think. Fucking stupid, man.
It's interesting how volatile people get. Right? It's like one minute everybody's you know, talking about crunch and, oh, it's so bad, but then at the same moment they want to kill the motherfuckers when they delay the damn game. So what do you guys fucking want?
Oh, the internet is crazy, man. Anyway, there's not really much more to say about it. The game's been delayed. You'll get it December 10th. Hopefully December 10th.
I was like, Tony, don't jinx it now.
Yeah, you're right about that. You know, March 21st, 2021.
One thing they need to give us a date they sure can match, because not only are they, you know, leaving the fan base or the people who are interested into this game to, like, disappointment every season. They also, and I saw this in the Digital Foundry video, and they mentioned this. They have a fucking Xbox One X version of the Cyberpunk console coming out. And Xbox One X is continued.
That's right.
Yep.
Because the game was supposed to come out in September, wasn't it?
It was supposed to come out before. I mean, yeah.
I gotta check
like
logs
spring,
here.
Spring of 2020, and then it went. Back
wow!
All
the way to- it was like April, and then yes.
Yo, I didn't think about that. You're right. There's an Xbox One X version. There's an Xbox One X console, and the console doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Wow!
Doesn't it? I mean, here's the thing. Is that going to just be the last, or are they canceling that console?
I don't know.
I feel bad for the people who pre-ordered this thing.
Yeah, right.
Imagine it's already in fucking next gen.
That shit is crazy, man. All right. Any last thoughts on this before we move on to the next one? Because I think we're done there.
Yeah.
Don't fucking threaten developers, please. It's fucking idiots.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Don't do Seriously. That.
Yeah, don't please. Do that. Don't All right, man. Let's move on to the next one. So this is kind of interesting. So you obviously the biggest news of the year, possibly decade, for when it comes to gaming, is that Microsoft bought Bethesda, right? And here on Throwdown, we're pretty much of the belief that those games are not coming to any other platform but Xbox platforms. Like, that is it, you know? But this week, Todd Howard said something that made people go, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because they haven't flat out said these games aren't coming to PlayStation. We've stated that before. We're like, they're not going to say that just flat out, you know? They're not going to do it, but, you know, like, the people are latched on to the whole case-by-case basis, even though case-by-case could literally mean no, individual, you know, but they haven't flat-out said it because it would just look bad at this moment, you know? So anyway, Todd Howard, he was doing an interview, I don't see the name of the place here, but he was doing a game industry biz, right? And he's, you know, they were talking about, like, you know, Elder Scrolls, possibly of it being on PS5 or whatever, and he said he would agree that it would be hard to imagine the game not being you know, on PlayStation 5, or rather imagine it, you know, it would be hard imagining as an Xbox exclusive. Obviously this got people going fucking crazy. That's it. It's coming to PlayStation,
confirmed.
You know, confirmed, you know, everybody went fucking nuts.
Again, but
Microsoft owns multiple platforms.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that could just mean that they're coming to all of their platforms.
Yeah.
Could be that too. I think the thing about it is, and nobody seems to get this at this point in time, they are not going to give you a straight answer about this.
They're not.
Not right now. Not when they have a new shiny service coming out there. Not when they have a new shiny console two new shiny consoles coming out. They don't want what can be perceived as bad press to affect it, to overshadow the release of their console. So you will not hear any sort of straight answers. You will hear open-ended answers, happy, you know, marketing speech answers. Yeah. We have not confirmed. We would love to see it. Stuff like that. You got to read what these people are saying. So if they're not going to tell you right now they're closing the door. They're going to wait till down the line when you have the console sitting in your room and when Elder Scrolls, which by the way doesn't have a release date is coming.
Yeah,
but that's the thing too. It's like, of course, Todd Howard's not going to talk about the Elder Scrolls 6 now. Pete Hines has already said in the past that the next game that they're going to launch, like under Bethesda Game Studios, is going to be Starfield. Yeah. So honestly, everybody's thirsty for the Elder Scrolls 6. I'm like, y'all, they are not focusing on Elder Scrolls 6 right now. Yeah, it's they're working on it. I'm not going to say they're not working on it. I mean, obviously, I don't work there. I don't know. But they, I mean, obviously they are. But the thing is, too, is like they said that Starfield is going to be the next game that they release. Like, we should not be expecting this much Elder Scrolls 6 news coming out right now, because I'm telling you, it is not going to come out in the next year. I don't think it's going to come out in the next 2 years. No. I'm expecting it to come out in the next 3 years at most. It's really weird that everybody is just so angsty to just figure out what's going on with Elder Scrolls 6 when like there's just so much.
People are thirsty.
Yeah.
They're thirsty for it, but I'm just like, I understand why y'all thirsty for it. Also, side note, I just really hope they do not use the creation engine again. Please not use it again. I'm tired of the creation engine.
Yeah, they're finally changing it.
They've changed it. They promised they're building a new engine from the ground up.
Yeah, right. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's gonna be better. I'm just gonna say they're taking another crack at it.
Yeah,
I think the only reason you're hearing for it is because when you hear Bethesda, you think Elder Scrolls. Trust me, as soon as they announce Elder Scrolls and it comes out, everybody's going to be asking about the next Fallout. It's just those are the two franchises they're super known for. And Starfield may be awesome, and that may be one that adds, you know, another notch in their belt. But people immediately think like Elder Scrolls and Fallout in that order. So they're just going to be like Elder Scrolls, and as soon as they get, they're going to be like, "Where's the Fallout?"
Yeah.
No, you're right about that. People, you know, those are their biggest franchises. Something else that's interesting, Brett, you talked about this before, how they've always had some kind of exclusivity with Microsoft, right? So this is what Todd Howard had to say about that. He goes, "I can't really project where things will be except to say we've done these sort of exercises ourselves as an independent. If you look at every Elder Scrolls game, there has been some exclusivity on Xbox or with Microsoft. We partner with every game. Morrowind was basically a console exclusive. Oblivion was a long time exclusive. Skyrim's DLC was exclusive for a long period of time. We'll decide what makes the best sense for our audience when the time comes, and I can't really project today what that looks like." So he's basically telling you, you know, again, two things here. Like, they've had exclusivity, so it won't be a surprise, but he still doesn't want to say it's going to be an exclusive. You know, like Manny said, they ain't going to do that yet.
They're not going to give you any sort of straight answers. They're going to give you cautiously optimistic answers. That's what you're going to hear.
Yeah, they're going to give you that. Well, I guess you got to buy an Xbox console to really see.
They're not going to do that. Yeah, they're not going to do that right now. They're not going to say, "Hey, well,
they never have to." They never. Right. They're always going to say, "This is available across multiple platforms," and they'll be like, "Well, what do you mean? It's like it's available on PC. We have two different consoles. It's available on that, and it's available on our last gen consoles." There's like four different platforms right there.
That's right, you know. Oh my
god! And they've been leaning on that. They're gonna lean on that hard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure. And here's my tinfoil hat theory. They're gonna eventually say, "As soon as PlayStation allows Game Pass on their console, you'll get it."
Yeah, for sure. Yo, that's a little bit of a tease for the next story, by the way. But you know, right about that. The only way you're playing a Elder Scrolls game on PlayStation if it's Xbox Game Pass. I do want to say this, though, real quick. Again, it's kind of funny. I'm tying it back to that question again. Movie development, game development, right? When a movie is successful on day one, the next day, what do you hear? We're coming out with a sequel, right? You can't do that with games. Gaming is a little bit more conservative. And I'll give you the perfect example, right? If you ask anybody at Activision in January of any given year, "Are you coming out with a Call of Duty game this year?" We're not ready to speak on that, knowing damn well there's going to be a new Call of Duty. Like, the gaming industry is just very conservative that way. So you ain't going to hear shit about Elder Scrolls.
I'm asking EA if they're going to make another Madden game. Yeah, exactly. Like, of course they are. They can exclusively make football simulation games. So like,
yeah, exactly. But even they'll tell you, "We're not ready to speak on that right now." It's like, bro, are you fucking kidding me? You're not going to, you know. So
Tony, have you seen?
We will not comment on rumors.
Yeah.
They still didn't make a new Madden. Oh,
she's right.
I'm not saying wrong with your point, like, but hey, listen, it's kind of hard to really improve on a game when you're the only person who's allowed to make those type of games.
I know.
When there's no competition.
You know,
they need the competition.
Yeah. I'm excited for 2K to make NFL games again. Even if they aren't football simulation games, I would love to have another game that's like NFL Blitz or some capacity.
Yeah, there you go.
NFL Blitz. So you know what? I will gladly take anything that will fill the void because I just don't feel like men's really giving me what I need. It really isn't. It's a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the most we've talked about Madden on the show ever, probably. This is incredible.
I will say this, though. It was really – okay, in EA's defense, I can respect the fact that they are giving free upgrades to FIFA 21. It was a FIFA 21 and Madden 21 players until the next iterations of those games come out. Unlike 2K, where it's like, oh, well, if you want to have a cross, if you want to have both versions, you got to pay $100.
And you get commercials.
Don't get me started on that.
The balls of steel these dudes have. Holy shit.
You need to spend at least $70 if you want to get a next-gen version of 2K, and that just sucks.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. That's some bullshit. But yeah, Elder Scrolls, you're not going to be hearing anything official about the game for a long time. So calm down, people, please.
Yo, man, let's talk. Why didn't they ask him about Starfield?
Yeah, Ray wanted to ask him about. Yeah, no one's asking about Starfield. It's like, that's
yeah, really no one's asking
game. Oh, yeah, that space game you got, whatever that is.
Like, what about the Elder Scrolls? I want dragons.
What about that Elder Scrolls?
I want dragons. I mean, guys, yeah. Just go play Elder Scrolls Online. I know it's not Elder Scrolls 6, but hey, listen, it will keep you occupied until you get more Elder Scrolls 6 news.
Yeah. Hey, Brett, you've been loving that game, haven't you? Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, for exactly that reason. Yeah, it's like it's kind of scratched that Elder Scrolls itch, and I'm like, I'm not getting it for a minute, so I'll play this, and I'll be damned. It feels like playing Elder Scrolls.
There you go.
Yep.
like, you want Elder Scrolls? Like they're putting out new content for that game like pretty regularly. Go play that.
5G.
It's pretty dope, actually.
That's awesome. All right, man. Let's move on. And Brett, you already teased this. So, yeah, this week Phil Spencer said that he would be open to having Xbox Game Pass on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 5 if the companies were willing to allow the app on their
But we said
platforms.
That. We said it before yes. that people took it the wrong way. When
exactly.
They said, oh,
we even
never said that.
It's funny. It's funny because he said that before and now it's making press again. We even have a full episode of Throwdown. Well, not a full episode, but a segment of the featured topic of one of our Throwdown episodes is literally about that. You can even go, if you go through our YouTube, you can see it right now. It's literally the PlayStation dashboard with an Xbox app. That's the one.
Yeah. It's not making its round. It's a new interview that happened this week, and now he stated it explicitly. You know, because there was still a little wiggle room before, even though we were like, yo, he just said it, you know?
Well, I think the proof is what we just saw with the Nintendo Direct the other day and how the Nintendo want to focus on bringing these AAA games, but they're going to do it through the cloud and stream them. So I think they have their own thing. But if that doesn't work, I think the fallback is to just let Microsoft put their Game Pass on. It's like, all right, we tried it. It didn't work. We'll just go your way.
Yeah.
But right now, they're going to try it their way. Yeah.
I mean, Nintendo's going to have to do – I mean, I'm glad that Nintendo's doing something like this now because it's like – let's face it. Like, a lot of these games – like, the Nintendo Switch is – I love the thing. It's just not a very powerful console. It's a very innovative one, but it is not a very powerful console. But, you know, if they want to have these, like, AAA titles – but now thinking about it, Doom Eternal has not come out on Switch yet. So are they going to just do that? Are they going to put it on the cloud?
Probably.
What are they going to do with that? Like, they need to do something.
That would be the easy fix for them right now because they haven't
said
an issue.
They still haven't said when it's coming out. They're just like, I'll
make a prediction.
Oh, go ahead, man.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Oh, by the way, real quick, Chris, happy belated birthday, man.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
birthday, man.
Almost forgot about that. My man, 72 years old today, man.
That's right.
That's how old you feel now that you're fucking not sleeping anymore.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Anyway, so what's your tinfoil theory?
It's not so tinfoil. Think about it. Nintendo made a good relationship with NVIDIA. NVIDIA builds the core of the Switch, right? The custom Tegra chip. So who's to say they're not already trying to put a version of GeForce Now for the Switch? Right, that's who's going to provide their cloud. It's not going to be Microsoft. I think they've been working with NVIDIA for a while now, trying to get that working.
You know, that's a good point because Chris, maybe you could answer this because by the way, we're now talking about the whole was it Control and just another game coming to Switch via the cloud?
Hitman 3.
Where are these games, Chris? Where are these games being hosted from?
Well, Nvidia's probably no. Nintendo doesn't have their own shit capable of streaming the games reliably. They need somebody else's.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, Chris, I mean, they always had to rely on on someone else. Remember, when what was it? Nintendo Wi-Fi connection shut down. That's because GameSpy shut down.
Yeah,
you know, they always have had to rely on someone else to provide those services. So either so the only big guns they have is like either you put it who's got the fastest nodes globally, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and right now Nvidia is competing with them for those nodes, but they don't have enough of them. See, Microsoft has enough to serve globally. Like so, in Japan and America and Asia, whatever, they can get good performance. Google can also get good performance, but they've already made a relationship with Nvidia, so they're trying to get them to expand and make that work. And the GeForce Now leads me to believe that's the route they're going to go. They're going to partner with Nvidia and use their cloud service to provide those.
Yeah. Well, wait, if that happens, you heard it here first, people.
I mean, if it works, you know, they're just not calling it GeForce Now, but it's like, yeah, it perfectly makes sense, especially if the guys who make Remedy and who else the other one? The guys who make Hitman, they probably already are available on GeForce Now, right? Because remember, the way GeForce Now works is that you have to own the game in order for you to be able to run it through their cloud, right?
It's you either own it on Steam or Epic. Game Store or Ubisoft.
So my guess is that's sort of what they're doing here. You're running like a unbranded version of GeForce Now, but you know they haven't said it specifically what it is.
They'll just be like, "It's Nintendo now.
It's Nintendo now."
Yeah. Anyway, about the whole Phil thing. Here's the thing: we said this a million times, right? What is Microsoft primarily? They're a software company, right? They want their software and as much hardware as possible. So having Game Pass on Switch and PlayStation 5 eventually, not out of the question at all. It would actually make perfect sense. You know, but I do want to clear one thing up because I've seen some stupid, obviously on Twitter, I've seen some dumb shit on Twitter. Oh, shock right there, right?
Yeah, Twitter.
People are saying like, does this mean that we're going to get PlayStation games on Game Pass? No. This is what I think is going to happen if this happens, right? The version of Xbox Game Pass that'll be on PlayStation will only have Microsoft exclusives. It will not have third-party games because they will undercut Sony's shit, and it's obviously not going to work the other way around. You're not going to have Horizon on Game Pass. It's going to be a one-way street. You know, Game Pass on your PlayStation, Xbox exclusives only. That's how it's going to work. You know, like it won't work the other way. I don't know where the hell people came up with that. I'm like, oh yeah, it's going to be the other way around, right? Like, no. It ain't going to be like that. And you're not going to see any third-party games on that shit either, because otherwise it wouldn't benefit Sony because they want you to buy third-party games off their shit.
And they want you to buy from their store.
Yeah, exactly.
That right there makes perfect sense to me, where it's like, okay, yeah, now you can get all those wonderful Xbox, Microsoft titles that you could never play before on your PlayStation.
Pretty much, you know. So we'll see about that, but I wouldn't be surprised because even Phil said this. He said, we are not focused on selling consoles right now. We're selling on getting Game Pass everywhere, you know, to as many subscribers as possible.
Yeah. So there you go.
Said people don't need to rush out to get the new consoles. He even said that shit. He was like, no, it's okay. You know, all the stuff is coming out to the current stuff. You're in the PC, so you're okay. No rush if you can't get the new one right now. It's okay. So,
yeah, they're like almost operating on a super loss. They're just mostly... They're mostly concerned with actually having their service working first. The console stuff is a later deal. Granted, like they did put out the pretty much the most powerful sort of console out there, you know, that just can handle whatever the hell you want to throw at it. But I think at this point in time, it's like, yeah, it's just their service. That's the thing. Come on, guys. I know you guys came down on us for this, but seriously. Seriously, look at this and see the tea leaves. Go back to all of our older episodes when we've all talked about this and you called us all crazy for it.
Yeah, now Phil Spencer is telling you that shit, you know?
Microsoft's future is software and it's a service. Even that one little blurb that he said years ago, he said something like, hey, you know, it's not really about this sort of stuff. It's about services. Services are the future. He fucking said it. Literally, what he was going to do, what they were going to do in the future.
And that's why the Nadella, the head of Microsoft, approved this whole thing. Because at first, remember, they were talking about shutting it down. They were like, "Oh, maybe this whole game thing ain't going to work." Until they said, "You know, wait, let's go in another direction. Game focused, service focused, hardware just to get them in the door, but we need the services. That's it. Throw me the money and we could build a service. Okay. And that's why we see it growing the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, too, is like, remember earlier this year, Phil Spencer, he had an interview with Protocol, and it really caught my eye. There was a lot of good takeaways from that interview, but a thing that really just like kind of perked my ears up was the fact that he said he didn't see Nintendo and Sony as competition to Xbox. No. He said that their biggest competition in his eyes was Amazon and Google. And honestly, he's not wrong about that. I mean, yeah, I know we can josh about Stadia all the time, but I mean, when you look at like, I mean, look, they've launched xCloud. They really are focusing on like Game Pass. These like the Netflix of like gaming is really becoming like more mainstream than like I was probably expecting. I didn't think it was gonna get this fast, but like it's happening, and it's happening rapid. And you know, Amazon is launching Luna, so it's like all of these things are going on. So it's like, of course, and plus it's quite clear that the big three have made their decisions on how they are going to tackle the industry from their point of view. Console wars just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense now. I feel like we just need to kill off that term console wars because it doesn't exist. They have their own directions they want to go in, and they're all very similar but very separate. So what's the point of comparing them? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense because they have different goals they want to achieve.
Yeah, well, tell that to the guys on Twitter. Hey, you would be able to keep that shit going.
They're set in their ways, and this is it. They're like, oh, no, this is the two consoles, the three consoles. They're all fighting against each other. It's like that in your mind they are, but in reality, well, they are not.
Here's the thing. The one thing about it is competition breeds advancement. So they're still going to be looking at each other and still looking for things to kind of like, okay, so we need to do this better. We need to push this. Except for Nintendo. Nintendo's the blue ocean. You know, they're like, we're doing our own thing. But even them are offering their little streaming, streaming of those two games is them looking at the industry and saying, hey, listen, we could, you know, we really need to start offering these titles that wouldn't be able to run on this on our thing either.
Yeah. It's a good thing for Nintendo too. It's like, you know, because the Switch, you know, it can't handle big games like that. Perfect way. You get Game Pass on there, play Halo perfectly, play Gears perfectly, you know. Sending with Sacrifice, all that shit. I think it'll be good for Nintendo. They'll win a lot because they'll have like a, you know, big AAA games on their shit. You know, I don't know if, you know, obviously we can't give you a time frame. We don't know when the hell this is going to happen, but if it happens, do not be surprised. And, you know, just boasting a little bit, we fucking told you. We've been telling you this shit for years, man. You motherfuckers don't want to listen.
Again, you called us crazy. You said we're a bunch of Xboxes or what? Xbox or all this other.
Look at my hat, bro. We're Xbox around here. Yo,
we're Sony. You call us Sony ponies or whatever you want to call us because we're the.
Oh, you bunch of use. Yeah, you're right. You use a bunch of ponies. You want the Xbox on your shit because you don't want to buy it. It's fucking dumb.
No, man. It's just the way they're going. They're Microsoft is sort of ascended. They've ascended in their own place, and then that's what it's going to do. And again, this is perfectly in line with the past and the past of Microsoft. Microsoft doesn't want to sell you a damn thing. They want to get you paying consistently for something, as they do with Office, with a lot of their other services.
It's now something you can't even just buy it. Now it's a subscription.
Exactly.
We've seen others follow it.
Yeah,
Adobe.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you got to subscribe to get Microsoft Word?
Office 365. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Subscribe.
Yep. Yeah. It's all about subscriptions, man.
They want you to be paying a monthly bill on this. And again, as we said before, as far as a monthly bill for this thing, it's a pretty damn good thing because of all the things that you get on there, right?
Yeah.
So now
platforms.
Now the big thing is that Microsoft needs that. They need that big signpost. They need that one thing to sit right in front of their store and say, this is us. This is the big thing that you can only get on there. Yeah, we got all this old shit, but we got this big one right up in front. And the only place that you can get it on is on this service or in this console. And that's it.
Yeah. No, you're right about that, you know. So don't be surprised, people. Don't be surprised. All right, man. And let's get on to the big show here. Brett, I want to apologize to you because we're going to talk about a console you hate a lot. We're going to talk about the PlayStation 2, man.
Uh-oh.
PlayStation 2.
Yeah. Didn't you say it was a piece of shit, man? You said that a billion times.
It was built like crap. I loved it, but I had to go through like three of them.
Yeah. It was the original Xbox 360, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead, man.
It was the PS2, and since it's 20 years old, it was literally old Sony.
Yeah, it was old Sony. Let's set this up right. So yes, this week marks the 20th anniversary of the launch of the PlayStation 2 in North America. So we're gonna wax nostalgic about it. Also, PlayStation 2 is now officially a retro console. Ain't that about a bitch? Don't you feel old out there, people? Manny, get out here, man.
Yeah, what is this? Look at that.
PlayStation 2. That's the Gran Turismo edition right there.
It's the Gran Turismo edition. It's the one that me and Tony and our friend Mike got.
Yep.
Our friend Mike got from that. Yeah. It's actually not in there. It's actually still actually underneath.
Nice.
But yeah, that's the box. I don't have Gran Turismo anymore, though. I sold that shit.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right. So, Taylor, why don't you lead us off? What were some of your favorite PlayStation 2 games, memories, all that stuff?
Oh, God, where do I begin? Okay, so I was the age of 5 years old when this console came out.
Wow, damn, making this feel old.
Wow.
It's just, oh, God, I can't believe it's been this long. I really can't. I'm just at a loss for words, first off, but...
You need a moment, we come back to you.
I have a lot of, like, good memories with the PS2. I had, other, like, home consoles that, like, me and my, like, brother shared or whatever, but, like, the PlayStation 2 was my first console that was, like, my own. My mom got me one. I was like really excited. I amassed like one of the biggest collection of like just like libraries of games that I had in a long time. Obviously, I don't have that anymore because you know when you're a kid and you gotta yeah. share sacrifices of trading in games at GameStop just to get that one game you really want. But you know, I learned like I played a lot of great games. And some of my favorite like intellectual properties were created out of the PlayStation 2. You know, it taught me a lot of things as a kid, you know, like responsibility, because let's face it, cartridges and discs are not the same, especially when we're comparing like durability and things like that. Like Okami is one of my favorite games of all time, came on the PlayStation 2. There's like Shadow of the Colossus.
Yes.
There's just so many. Like Jack and Daxter. I literally like. Side note, like Jack and Daxter, just like the Jack series, like is just one of my favorites. It's a great platformer. I really wish that it would come back. I hope it comes back on the PlayStation 5, but that's wishful thinking. But I remember when I heard that like Limited Run Games was gonna do like the physical copies of like the Jack games, and I heard that the first game was gonna be come out first, and like I remember I got a certain edition of it, and it came with like the Precursor Orb. I was like, I have to get this, because I was like, nice. So many memories, so like just so much nostalgia, and you know there's I could go on for just like hours of like why the PS2 just holds like a really really special place in my heart, but I know we got to do a little roundtable here, but you know there's a lot of memories that I have with the PlayStation 2. I've experienced, it allowed me to step out of my comfort zone and experience a lot of titles. It kind of helped me define a little bit about what kind of gamer I am, and just like who I am as a person. And I owe so much to just the PlayStation 2, to Sony, to all the games that I played in my lifetime. It's an amazing console. It really is.
Yeah, for sure. And you could jump in whenever, you know, because we're going to be going around. You know what, Manny, since you started. Him and I, we, you know, our story begins the same and stuff. Like, we got the PlayStation 2. We got it really cheap. It was like $150 or something. Like, I think our boy's boy must have nicked it off the back of a truck or something. Like, that shit was cheap as fuck, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll give my story first, because I've said this before, you know, but... I was not a PlayStation fan back in the day. I hated PlayStation, as a matter of fact, because I was a Sega guy, right? That was my Sega Saturn 32X. That was my shit. So when the PlayStation came out, I was like, fuck this shit. Fuck PlayStation. Even though there was a part of me that secretly wanted it, because when I saw Metal Gear and fucking Final Fantasy VII, I was like, fuck. Because I was watching Manny and shit play and stuff. So when the Dreamcast died, I honestly believe I was done with gaming. I'm like, damn, Sega's dead. That's it. It's fucking over. The dream is dead, literally, you know? So for like a whole summer...
It's been casted.
Yeah, I, you know, when the Dreamcast died, for like... Manny could verify this. For 3 months, I didn't play nothing. I'm like, I mean, I kept playing the same games over and over again, but I was like,
He literally said what he just said here. Like, well, I guess it's gone. I guess I'm not going to be playing any more games anymore. I'm like looking at him like, come on, you're going to be fucking playing games.
And then obviously, and then obviously the day came, was like our boy Mike was like, yo, you want a PlayStation 2 for $150? I'm like, yeah, I kind of do.
I'm going to bite the bullet, man.
You know, so there weren't any PS2 games that I wanted at that point, right? So I bought myself some PS1 games, right? One was a very smart choice. One was a very stupid choice. So the first game I bought was Metal Gear Solid. Obviously, I needed to have that, right? Fucking loved it, right? And the other one, I was a dumbass motherfucker.
Was it Bubsy 3D?
No. Instead of Final Fantasy VII, like I should have bought, I said, I want to buy the futuristic one, Final Fantasy VIII. Oh, I regretted that fucking decision, man.
And it's funny because I warned you up and down the block.
But the visuals, man, the visuals, you know.
I know it looks nice, but it's fake.
Yeah, even till this day. Yeah. By the way, even till this day, the game looks good. Even till this day,
it's an damn impressive game. But everything else is stupid in the game.
Yeah, and then I'll
get the meme that FF8 gives.
Yeah. Oh my god. and then after that, games started coming. Final Fantasy X was fucking dope. You know, Metal Gear Solid 2, right? Manny had the fucking demo disc of that shit. We played the hell out of that. What'd that come with?
Came with Zone of Enders.
Zone of the Enders, right? So played the hell out of it. So I got the game. What was cool about Metal Gear Solid 2, and Manny could vouch for this too, it really helped us kind of get through the shit of 9/11 because it was at that same time.
That game was supposed to really, they delayed that game.
Yeah.
Or I remember once it all happened there, and they delayed the game, and everybody was sort of afraid that, like, oh man, are they going to push it to next year? What are they going to do? You know, the game takes place in New York. What's all this happening? But that came. I think that game comes out.
Yeah, it was that year. Yeah,
November 2000.
Yeah, and they had to change. There was a big attack on the Washington Bridge. They had to change all that. You know.
There
was an attack on the lower part of Manhattan where the World Trade Center was.
It was Arsenal Gear crashes into lower Manhattan.
Yeah, that's what it was.
They got rid of all the destruction that happened. They cut. That's why it has that weird shot where, like, it essentially looks like it's going toward New York, and then all of a sudden it cuts, and then you're inside in the final battle. It's because there was a whole scene of Arsenal Gear smashing into downtown Manhattan. It doesn't crash into the Twin Towers, but you know, number one, the Twin Towers there. Number two, a bunch of destruction, which you know is still sort of fresh in people's minds. I mean, especially like us, you know, Chris, Tony, me, you know,
Adam,
we all lived in New York at the same time, and we all were affected by it. You know, Adam used to live, worked in the area of
away.
He worked a few blocks away. You know, I was going to school, and I think Chris, you were working in the city at that time too, right?
And our boy Mike, he worked a couple blocks from there. You know,
he worked downtown on Wall Street. So,
Yeah, so this shit was great. So that game definitely helped. And yeah, the PlayStation 2, again, you know, I've always said, next to the Super Nintendo, probably objectively the best console of all time, man. So many fucking games on that. You know, my personal favorite, as I've said before, Metal Gear Solid 3, greatest game of all time, just blew me away. We had San Andreas. I played that shit forever, you know. Grand Theft Auto 3.
PS2 had the best library.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, without
such
a doubt.
A strong library.
Without a doubt.
Pause for a second. Like, 2001, though, fall and holiday 2001 for the PlayStation 2 was phenomenal. A bunch of strong exclusive titles came out for that, like Metal Gear Solid 2. There's Jack and Daxter, Silent Hill 2, Final Fantasy 10, Devil May Cry, Ico, Grand Theft Auto 3. Like, jeez, like I can't think of another time where a console had a first party library that strong in that short amount of time. It was just like a different time. It was crazy. Like, so many good games came out in that just like that block of that year. Well, and right now, don't get me wrong, like the PS2 had a pretty weak, like,
launch.
But Jesus, it was that there's like maybe one game I actually gave a damn, but it like a year later, it showed a bright future for the console. It really did.
Yeah. Carlos, what were you gonna say, bro?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, right now we'd be lucky if we got that lineup even for all games for a year.
Yeah, no, we don't get that anymore, you know. I'm just going to say one quick thing, and then because I could go on for hours about PlayStation 2, right? The other game that fucked me up, and I'm going to speak for a lot of people, right, out in the world, Grand Theft Auto 3, man, that was a game changer right there. Yeah. I remember I was watching my boy Chris, not this Chris, we call him Evil Chris, right? He was playing. I'm like, I couldn't wrap my head around. I'm like, so you're telling me you can go anywhere you want? He's like, yeah, anywhere. Like, over there? You go over there? Yeah. And then he goes, I'm like, wait, will you go over there? He's like, Tony, take the fucking controller and just play this shit. You know, and I'm like, oh, shit, just ran this motherfucker over. Yo, oh, my God. Grand Theft Auto 3 was crazy, man. That was back in the day, like, when open world games were not, like, everywhere. So, when an open world game came, it was special, but they were never as good as Grand Theft Auto. Even till this day, like, Rockstar still makes the best ones out there, man.
Oh, it's interesting about the gold standard for open world games.
It's interesting about the Grand Theft Auto games, because the Grand Theft Auto games were open world games even when
they were top down. That's the problem.
They were top down.
You know? Yeah. You make it 3D.
You can fart. They had a button dedicated to farting.
Yeah. I mean, you make it 3D, that's a whole different story right there. You know, Adam, man, PlayStation 2, tell us about it.
Well, my take is a little different.
Freestyle,
that was a big one for me. Manhunt was a big one for me. Spider-Man. Those are the ones. Yes. Metal Gear. Then later on, and it was between them, my Xbox. But then later on, Manny got me a Slim, and he got it with God of War. God of War 2.
God of War.
Yeah, and I spent a lot of time with God of War 2. And that was it. You know, those are the ones that I pretty much played all the time. I still love that. All the EA big games. I loved all the EA big games. The NBA Street. I love when they did the NFL Street. I love those. The snowboarding game. SS Tricky.
SS Tricky, yeah.
Yeah, those are great. These are the games that should be on Switch right now. Everybody would go out and go pick them. You don't need to go all Super Sim. Oh, we can't put Madden on it. You can't even put Madden Correct on current gen. Listen, just bring the old shit back, bring the arcadey stuff back, and let people have some fun. Put a $20 price tag on it. Make some money. It's okay. Yeah. So those are the games I spent a lot of time playing. That was it.
Nice. Man, what were some of your favorites, man?
Oh my God! Like, you know, like the first. Obviously, you said the first part of it, which was in the 2001 area. You know, was Zone of Enders, Metal Gear Solid, Final Fantasy, X. You know, Ico, whatever you want to call it. That game, I remember playing that at the local software, etc. And I was like enamored with that thing, because they had the demo back then. They actually still had the demo stations running, and I played that game, and I was like, oh my God. When is this thing coming out? Because I really want to play it. I'm probably like the only guy, one of the only person that actually has a real original copy of the game that played it on the day and date. And then there's also, then we got to talk about the end part of the PlayStation.
Oh man, yeah.
Doesn't make any fucking sense. You realize that God of War 1, God of War 2, Okami, all those things, and Shadow of the Colossus were all at the tail end of the damn thing.
Yep.
They were cut, like when God of War 1 came out, they're like, how is this game? How are we doing this at the end?
Yo, man. Yeah, Devil May Cry 3 is another one that came out in 2005 was a crazy fucking year, man.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yo, Manny, just say it.
Ooh.
What?
It does not make a goddamn lick of sense.
Did I say that before?
Yeah. You see that every show.
Yeah, I remember God of War 2 came out in 2007. Think about the PlayStation 3 was already out. People were like, what the fuck is this shit doing on PlayStation 2?
Literally,
I mean, granted, the PS3 wasn't really popular.
Yeah, that's right. You know, even though 2007 was a good year in gaming overall. Okay,
let's say 2005 is Metal Gear Solid Subsistence, Kingdom Hearts 2. Let's see what else we got here. For Adam, the Warriors. That's also 2005.
Oh, yes.
Out to play, yay. Resident Evil 4. Devil May Cry 3.
The PS2 version was kind of rough.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
Yeah, but this is the one that most people play because nobody had a GameCube. It was like 10 dudes, you know?
Yeah.
The Wii version is still one of the best, though.
Yeah, I heard that was good, but I'm not trying to play with that shit. Resident Evil 4, that was another game changer right there, you know? That was another one. Yeah, PlayStation 2 was so fucking good, man. I'm hearing myself and I'm getting mad. I'm like, yo, I wish we had console generations like that, man. It's like it's all fucking bullshit now.
Well, I mean, to be honest, look at it this way, like, you know, that was the last era where you could sort of take maybe 2 years to finish off a game, right?
Yeah, you didn't need 50 years for a game, you know. Yeah. And games came out, you know, when the games went gold, they were fucking done. None of that fucking DLC, microtransactions, patches. None of that shit.
You know what? But I got to say something. I would agree with that until a point. I do like the fact that we can get games patched because there were so many games that I picked up before. They were broken out the box. You had to do, what can you do? Just get a refund. There was a wrestling game in particular. It was a Raw one. WWE did one. Broken out the box, it just did not work. Couldn't grab, and I was like, "What do I do now? Just get a refund?" Because every game version is busted. It's not just my disc.
I rarely ran into that though. You know,
that happened to me with Metal Gear Solid 2. Metal Gear Solid 2 was my. I got multiple copies of Metal Gear Solid 2 that were broken. Essentially, it would freeze. Essentially, at the point in the first part of it, at the part where Ocelot goes, no, I'm taking it back. It skips. It goes, no, I'm taking it back. And then the game would freeze.
Wow.
Every single time.
I'm thankful I never had to experience that shit.
I got three different versions of the same game that had broken at that same point, and I had to keep returning them. Yeah, until I got one that worked well. But even that one was questionable as to how well it would work until they somehow fixed it later.
Yeah. All right, Carlos, get in here, man. PlayStation 2.
All right, I can't beat Taylor here, but I was like 11 when it came out, maybe. So, yeah, man, it was my first DVD player.
Yeah.
Yay.
So, you know, got to watch The Matrix.
of course.
So, you know, it was on those weird sleeve things. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but as far as games, I played all the good ones, man. I played God of War 2. I played all the GTAs. I think that's the best. That was the best generation for GTA, especially compared to now, since GTA 5 is just gonna come out every generation from now on.
it takes like, over two generations.
We're just gonna keep making GTA 5 until it stops printing us money.
Yo, believe me, it's gonna be in the PS6 reveal. It's gonna be the first thing shown. Yo, yeah, Shadow Colossus. I'm looking at all these games. I think I played Resident Evil 4 on this too, if I'm not mistaken. Either that or the box. I don't remember where I played that from. And it has to be the PS2.
It probably was like PS2 or GameCube, because I was like, at the time, that was like the only versions, because I don't think it ever came.
Okay, so it must have been PS2 then. So yeah, it just, you know, everyone's talking about the lineup, and it's a great lineup. I didn't get to play as many games. I did play a lot of the highlights. I did, but I mean, I was too young and I had multiple consoles. So I was stretched thin when it came to like getting like an abundance of games. But yeah, I think it's for me, it's a top three. It's number three in terms of console lineup for me, obviously, because, you know, Chris said it's his number one, and I think a lot of people agreed with him. I'm still team 360, and then team SNES, and then team
PS3. Yeah. Now, in my heart of hearts, I want to say Dreamcast, but PlayStation 2 is the better console overall, you know. So for me, yeah. Just, you know, off the side, it would be PS2, Super Nintendo. Ooh, I need to think about number three. I don't know what would be the one after that. Maybe Sega Saturn. I'm not sure. No. Yeah, what happened? Yeah, I may have to, you know. Anyway, Brett, PlayStation 2 games, man. And memories too. Toss it all in there.
The big one, and you're gonna find this a little weird, was Metal Gear Solid.
Really? Two?
Dude, I loved that game. Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't realize I knew you played the first one on PlayStation. I didn't realize you played the second one. That's dope.
Yeah, I played up until number three when it took this weird kind of soap opera turn. And it was all cutscenes, and I was like, "Eh." Not saying it's not fantastic, just not for me. So they took a direction I didn't want. And yeah, but man, I remember playing the fuck out of it. Like, that's my biggest memory. Played a lot of RPGs on there. I'll be honest, we get to be our age, a lot of it kind of starts to blur together. Yeah, I remember playing a shitload of RPGs on that.
There was a lot of RPGs on PlayStation 2. That's a fact.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, the biggest thing I remember from PlayStation 2 was the vast array, like an ocean of games. You can just dive in like you're bobbing for apples and come up with something that's like, eh, that's pretty cool. So,
yeah, that was back in the day. No, go ahead, Brett. I was just saying that was also the era we still had double A games, Brett. You know, like, hey, this game's cool. Like, it may not be all that, but it's kind of cool. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing I can say about it it sounds weird, is that I don't have any one particular game that I remember because there were so many. So
yeah,
I've been sitting here, I've been trying to think of like what fucking game is, like. I'm sure there are games that you guys have said and people will say, I'm like,
oh, yeah, GTA, man.
I mean, of course, GTA. Yeah. That kind of goes without saying.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was Vice the City big revolution, too. Though.
Yeah, Vice City was my shit, too. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, shit. What is, God damn it. Like, the Punisher story ripoff. You stole my daughter, I get a bullet time.
Oh, Max Payne.
Max Payne.
Yeah, man.
Easy one for me.
Yeah,
Rockstar came out had on a PC strong Pro. Library.
Yo, Rockstar wasn't fucking around on PS2.
It was, it was crazy. Like, they had Bully, they had the GTA games. I mean, Manhunt had its controversy, but if you look past the controversy, Manhunt's not a bad game.
No, Manhunt was dope.
It definitely might make
Midnight Club. Like, hold on, who said that shit? Barry Burton? Hell fucking yeah, Midnight Club. Let's go. That's another one. Rockstar, what's up, man?
It was just on fire. I don't know. It was like a fire lit up in their ass during that time. It was just like pow, 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 pow. Just so many good games. It's just like, oh.
And then this generation, we only get one game from them. This generation, this entire generation, we only got Red Dead Redemption 2. Think about it. Think GTA 5 was last gen.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know. Real quick, Chris, before I go to you, I do want to say this. I played so many PlayStation 2 games, and you guys know this too, man. So many bootlegs on that motherfucker, man. I had that special deal and shit where you take the disc tray out. You know, Taylor, I told you this. You don't know this story. Right? I told this story many times, right? So, Manny and I's friend, right? I'm not going to say his name, but so his thing was like, he needed like fresh piss for his parole officer, right? So, what I would do is I would give him my piss. I'm clean. By the way, I'm still clean, people, if you need my services, right? I would sell him my piss, God. And he would give me games that he ripped, you know? So, I played everything, you know? It was crazy. So that was a lot of fun, you know, just thinking about that. Like, every week's like, yo, Tony, man, like, yo, I need the hookup. I'm like, you got the hookup? You know?
Actually, you know who it is.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air. By the way, Mike also helped them with those services. But it's like, hey, I only drink alcohol. That shit is legal, man. You need my services. I don't do nothing else, you know? And I'm still like, don't do drugs, kids. You know, except for Brett. He's okay. Oh, man. Anyway.
Hey, yeah. Weed isn't a drug.
Yeah, it just grows like that. It just grows, no. and if you burn it, it just has some side effects.
I think that Cat Williams. How is weed illegal? Weed is just a plant.
It just grows, and if you burn it, there will be some effects.
I mean, allegedly, so I hear. I don't know this man.
All right, Chris, get in here, man. PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I remember. I think the first week it came out, I was working my second job, and I was like, I'm not gonna get one, and my boss at the time, he knew a manager at the GameStop on 34th Street, and he's like, do you want a PS2? He just came up to me randomly in the middle of the day. I'm like, yeah, I want one. And he's like, all right, come, yo, 4 o'clock, we're bouncing, come with me. Okay, so we took the train, we walked to the back of the store, and his boy was out there, and he's like, I just gave him money. He's like, here you go. He just gave me a bag. I was like, oh shit.
So he was like, yo, I got my PlayStation.
So that's how I got my PS2. And he's like, what games do you want? And he just went in and got him. Like, I, at the time, what were the launch games? I got Orphan and Summoner. And they were terrible. Yeah. I was like, oh man, these games are terrible. I tried to play Summoner. It was garbage. And Orphan was kind of boring at us, like, anime what? Game. I don't know about this shit.
This it wasn't 2000, till... right? This was 2000.
Yeah, this was 2000. Wow. Yeah.
Those are the launch ones.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until, like...
Yeah, I just dropped the whole list. They're...
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't until I got my hands on, like, Metal Gear Solid 2. And I remember... The games I really loved on there, besides the Metal Gear games, was all the platformers. Like, there was the Sly Cooper games.
Yes.
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank.
You know, Jack and Daxter. Yes. Yeah.
I loved it.
Klonoa. There was a ton of fun platformers on PS2. I loved them. Also, Resident Evil 4 was great.
Yeah. That was, like, the last big era for, like, mascot platformers. After that, that shit was done, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good.
Yeah, the racing games were good. Like, I played Burnout on there. And
Burnout 3, that was another one.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I mean, I played one of the SOCOM games. I think SOCOM 2 I played on there. It was good. And there was, Silent Hill 2 blew my mind when I saw it, because I had played the first one on PlayStation, and I thought they had made such a leap, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the cutscenes in that game. Like, my mind was melting. I'm like, holy shit, we went from mitten hands, this guy looks fucking real. He's washing his face, and he's, like, freaking out, he's messing with his radio. I'm like, this is great. So, I love those. And I played all of the PS2 Silent Hills, like 2, 3, and 4 all came out on PS2. And I had played all of them. I love those games.
That's awesome. Manny, what do you put on screen right now?
Oh, you can see the launch lineup right there.
Oh, wow.
Let me just turn off my little bug there.
I can't even read that shit.
Yeah, it's a little
hard. Armored Core 2, DOA 2, Hardcore, Dynasty Warriors 2. ESP. I'm not gonna read all that, but that's not a good
thing. There you go. There's the two of them.
Yeah.
Fucking Orphan and Summoner.
Wow.
I see.
Oh yeah, Orphan and Summoner, Cue Ball,
NHL 2001.
Madden Rumble. When they actually tried to make them good.
Ridge Racer is there on there too?
What's that? Street Fighter EX 3.
Tekken Tag.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's a tournament. That's hard.
Surfing H2O.
It was all right.
Yeah. Surfing H2O. X Squad, man. Oh, shit. The Bouncer.
The Bouncer.
Bouncer, yep.
Oh, I only ever saw that at Manny's place. It was,
Manny's the only guy who bought it, man.
I'm the only one who bought it. But the thing is, I bought it actually after the fact, because I was...
Yeah, you did buy it after the fact.
The Bouncer was the showcase for the PlayStation 2 at the time. It was probably the best looking game that they had on, and they would always show it in the ads and all that stuff, like, hey, this is what the next generation looks like and stuff like that. But I'd be the first to tell you, it wasn't the best made game. That's why you need a remake a bad game and make it good, right?
Yeah. I like that. All right,
remake it not such a good game, you make it better.
Brian, get in here, man. Just tell us about SOCOM, man.
The damn thing is great. The damn thing was great, and then so inside to fuck it up. But yeah, back in the PS2 days, it was that game. It was the Halo of the PS2 era, I'd say. It was the game that all my friends were playing. We would just, like, go on it every single night. We'd play for hours on end, and it would just be so much fun. And it was a game where, lo and behold, you had to have skill to actually be good at it. I know, right? There were no kill streaks. There were no, like, stupidly powered weapons. It had systems in there that made sense. It had encumbrance online, so if you wanted to, like, run around like an RPG, you, like, walk slow and stuff. But if you didn't want to do that, just walk around with an SMG, then you, like, run around and just be, like, amazingly quick. There was none of this quick scoping nonsense that kids have these days. It's like, no, you actually had to be skillful with your sniper rifle. Like, take your time, aim your shots, know where the guys are coming from, adjust your scope, you know, that type of stuff. It had vehicles online. It was so good. And then Sony fucked it.
Yeah, SOCOM 2 was such a good game.
SOCOM 1, 2 was really great. 3 was a bit but it was still, like, really good. I think they did a really good job with that. They had a really good winning formula with SOCOM games, in my opinion. I'm surprised that you guys didn't mention this. The Mercenaries game by EA. Back
never,
when
yeah,
EA
never played those.
Mercenaries were fun. Oh, I played all those. Yeah. Those
so good.
That was one.
I don't have any PS2 memories of that. I just have my Xbox memory.
Red Faction being good.
Oh. I mean, like, anyone remember, speaking of, like, good football games, like, there were some pretty good football games that actually came out, like, on the, like, the PS2. Like, remember, well, I mean, it came out, well, some of them came on the Xbox, too. Like remember 2K5, NFL 2K5?
Yeah.
One of the best football games.
Ugh. Is that the one with Randy Moss on it?
Yeah, like, on the, as the, or no, Terrell Owens was the cover athlete for 2K5. For
ESPN. Oh, on the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah, when he was on the Eagles. But, oh my god, and there was, like, I forgot what it was, like, called, but there was another football game. I think it wasn't necessarily, well, it was, like, a simulation game, but I think it was called, like, All Pro Football 2K8. That was pretty good, too.
It was a game day. That was Microsoft had their own version when for that whole Madden exclusivity deal. That
yeah.
That was pretty good. Just, the game day series.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I know that was, like PS3 and, like, 360, but, like, I just missed how good simulation football games like used to be, and it sucks that like they just suck now.
It sucks that they suck.
Suck hard
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Before I go back to Brian, real quick, GCDR says that, or he's asking us, what movie came with the PlayStation 2? A movie came with PlayStation 2?
No, we didn't have it. That version of it.
I remember the Xbox came with Donkey.
There was a bundle that
no movie came with mine. Yeah.
Yeah, like I didn't get a movie, you know.
I didn't get a movie.
Yeah, right. We got ripped off, man. So, Brian, what other games did you like playing, man?
I forgot about this. Adam, did you ever play FIFA Street?
Of course. That was all part of the EA Big. And then they tried to add that again in a FIFA 20 with the Volta, and it doesn't feel the same. It's not the same.
It was on the GameCube, too.
Yeah, I miss Street. I have Street on my Retro Pie back here. I played that for the PSP.
It was so good.
Loved it.
Like, who knew that, like, playing football in, like, a way where you don't play football was so much fun? It was like three people.
It was three on three, close quarters. Yeah. You could bang the ball off the walls and stuff. You could do all the crazy tricks at ease. It was fun.
It was just stylish football. It's like, yeah, this is also fun, you know? Like, you don't need to be, like, simulation. Like, oh, I'll make sure I'll play against, like, the right teams with, like, my right formations and all. So it's like, no, just play three random people and have fun with it. Oh, man, I miss EA.
Man. Did anybody play the Prince of Persia games?
Yes.
That's Tony right there, man.
Sansa, yeah, I played all of them. Oh, Carlos, man, what's up, man? Bud Light Seltzer once again. And shout out to the Bebop Oru, you know? Yeah, okay. I played all three of them, loved them, but my favorite will always be Sansa Ty, man. Playing that game, it was like you're in a legit fairy tale, you know? Like, you were just absorbed. I replayed the fuck out of that game.
Oh, yeah, I love that game.
Hurts me what they're doing with it right now, man.
I had to I actually returned two copies of it because I didn't know the game had a bug with the PS2 DVD remote. So really? if you keep the dongle in for the remote, it causes the character to keep running right on the screen. So I put the game in, and I'm like, why the fuck can't I control this dude? Like, he's just moving, and I couldn't control the menu. So I take it back to GameStop. I'm like, shit, it's defective. Okay, they give me another one. I go home. Oh shit, it's doing the same thing. And then I finally figured it out. I pulled the dongle out and he stopped moving.
Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy.
I had something like that happen. And it was with Skate 3. And so I remember I bought Skate 3. I was all excited to get home. I go load up. Now, one of the cool things it says it can load up your profile from Skate 2. So I'll go to load up. And then whenever I would go to do one mission, I could hear all the characters and I could hear the skaters and the event would start, but the whole screen would go black. Didn't understand what was going on. So I brought it back to GameStop. They gave me another one, brand new. Same thing. I said, I don't believe this. Two brand new games. And it's still like them. Had to look up online. Turns out one of the assets, one of the shirts, just so happened to be like the shirt that my character was wearing from Skate 2 didn't carry over to Skate 3. So when the game tries to load up that character, right, for some reason in that mission, even though in the menu you can see it, in that mission, it glitches and the whole shit stops working. So I said, well, so when I stopped using my character in the menu, I just selected generic, then the game worked.
You know what you could have did? You could have went back into Skate 2 again, right? You know, the previous
game. Yeah, I didn't
change the shirt out.
Yeah, I didn't have that one. That was when I was trading in shit. So I didn't even have to anymore. I finished it. I was like, oh, I'll move on to Skate 3.
So, yeah. So here's a fun little blast from the past here. So what this is the packet for the PlayStation Advisory Panel. Apparently, if you were part of the PlayStation Underground, you actually got this as well as a nice little fun little certificate signed by Mr. Andrew House saying, "Hey, you are part of the PlayStation Advisory Panel." At the time that I got this thing, I didn't even know what the hell it was. I was like, why are they sending me stuff? Well, I didn't enter into any contest. So, yeah, it's a fun little thing there. Yeah.
Andrew House, that's your boy, man.
That's Andrew House all out on there.
That's crazy.
Did you get anything after that? Did you get surveys?
You used to get surveys and all that sort of stuff if you had an email. But I think, yeah, I had an email at that time. And then you get your little card, which I still never took out of the thing there. I just never ended up using it. Apparently, there's all kinds of stuff that you got with it. But this was, it also came with a bunch of little things where you can keep your demos in the back, like little CD cases and things where you can write your stuff on. Like, check right there. You can see where you, and it came with a pen. And then at the back, it came with like little card sections where you can write cards in the back. And also, for those of you guys there, you see something called Swap Magic.
Hey, I got one of those too, man. There you go.
That's the Swap Magic. I mean, Tony, who had a lot more, did a lot more. Yeah.
I should have had mine out. I got it right there. It's looking at me.
Here's the little tool that you used to use to kind of.
That's right. You got to slide that shit in there. You got to take off the faceplate. Yeah.
You slide it up, you slide the faceplate, you open it up, and you pull the disc tray out. Yeah.
Yo, we found ways to be doing sneaky shit back in the day, man. It was crazy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, I didn't really use the Swap Magic as much as you did. I did have Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, I think I had on there. That was one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I bought those. Those motherfuckers deserve my money, you know?
Yeah.
I remember that was one of the first games I got, like a midnight launch. Vice City, I was waiting for that motherfucker, man. I was ready. Grand Theft Auto 3 was so monumental, it fucked up every game for me until Vice City came out the next year. Every game I played, I was like, this is whack. It's not like GTA 3. I went back to GTA 3, you know? Like, it ruined games. You know, Rockstar does that shit in general. When I played Red Dead Redemption 2, I couldn't play anything for like a month or two. You know, I was like, this is fucking whack. You know,
that and probably it took over most of your life with how long that fucking game is.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's the thing. When I play GTA games or Rockstar games, like I don't like get up, like I don't become obsessed. I become addicted. Like it is real, man. It is real. You know, but yeah, PlayStation 2, dope console, greatest console of all time, as far as I'm concerned. And we'll be revisiting this again in 5 years during the 25th anniversary. Yeah. You know,
we talk about the memory card just real quick.
Yeah, so of course. Like, anything else you guys want to talk about?
Icons that came with it. I mean, I just like I was surprised nobody else brought it up. Like, yeah. I was like, that was one of I would spend like a long time just like on like that menu screen, just looking at the little. Like looking at the little icons that would come with your save file.
Yeah, there you go.
And you'd like, look at your memory card. You'd see the cute little icons, and it's like if you were about to delete one, like the weirdest shit would just happen. Like it didn't matter. Like it like sometimes it would just like change. Like it was just the coolest thing. Like sometimes it would like the change like whatever the person was doing, or it'd be like, oh, it'll like completely it'll make you feel guilty. Yeah. Be like, you really gonna delete?
Yeah, like I think for Tekken, the little girl cries because for Tekken, I think Tekken Tag, it's what's her face from Tekken 3, and she cries when you delete her. That's yeah, like funny. Most games on there had a unique little 3D model that would sit on the thing there. So like Metal Gear had, what was it? I know when you beat Metal Gear Solid 3, you got the Patriot. It was a Patriot, and it was a little the little white flowers, you know, the boss.
Two was the cipher.
The Shadow of the Colossus and both Shadow of the Colossus and Eco, they had a little version of them animating, so it was Eco for Eco, where it was a little black, like a little like shadow version of him, and then Shadow of the Colossus was the horse. And I think I Wander, yeah, they all of the ones that the all those games like had like with the. And then also, again, you know, just the other crazy thing about it is that the menu used to tell you how full your memory card was, you know, so all those the little crystals that you would see in the beginning of your PlayStation 2 menu when you would start up, that's if you didn't have it auto start. You just had to go to the menu. Anytime you looked at that, the more crystals that you saw on the screen was how full your memory card actually was. Just fun.
Yeah, that was really fun back then, the memory card, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Manny, now you remind me of like probably the worst thing as a PS2 owner you could see. The point where you put it in your desk, you turn on your console, and then the screen just like, instead of going blue, oh, sorry, going
it
back,
red.
It turns red and it's like unable to read disc. Like, oh, that was painful.
Yeah. Night.
Yeah.
It only happened to be like once.
A little, like, it makes that little noise like it's sad.
Yeah, or disc read error. A lot of people got that, you know?
Yeah, that's the disc read error thing where it essentially turned red, the screen.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
I remember I would always go to the grocery store, I'd always try to like find like PlayStation magazines and like see if they had like demo discs, and then I would like ask my mom to buy me the magazine, and like, oh my god, I played so many demos. I would regret it though, because there was like a bunch of games I would play the demo, like play the shit out of those demo discs, but I would never buy like the game itself. Like I think it was called like this mountain bike. It was like this mountain bike game. I think it was called like Downhill Domination. It was by the same people that developed Twisted Metal Black. I think they were called Incognito, but they made that game, and like I played the fuck out of that demo. It was so good. Like one of my biggest regrets was like not buying like the full version of the game, because it's like I played it so much, you would have thought I just bought it by then. And I was like, nope, could never find it. But
I used to be part of the PlayStation Underground, and they used to ship me discs, but I used to not really get a lot of the discs because somebody would always steal them from me.
Oh shit.
I'd actually call them up. I'm like, hey, I didn't get the disc this month. They're like, oh, well, we did send it out. I'm like, I'm a son of a bitch, postman just stole my fucking demo disc. Because they didn't hide that shit. When you got that demo disc, it said what it was on the front. Yeah, like, it didn't have anything that covered it up. That's, you know, so obviously they see that. They're like, oh, take that.
I can remember the last time I played a demo disc, and it was for Xbox Magazine. It was Saints Row, and it was on a 360. And I remember it was like maybe 12 o'clock, maybe 1 in the morning. And I'm playing on my 360, and I see one of my buddies on there, and it's a Saints Row. I'm like, what the hell? I sent him a message. Like, how you get this? Why are you playing this? He's like, oh, it's a demo. We got to get the Xbox Magazine. And at the time, I lived down near the ferry in Staten Island, and I knew at the ferry terminal there was a 24-hour newsstand, one of those Hudson News type things. I was like, fuck that shit. I'm going down there. So it must have been at that point, like 2 in the morning or something. So I go down there. I see it. Sure enough, it's on the shelf, and it had the disc. Like you said, they always had it right in the open, and they weren't hiding shit. Brought it upstairs, and that was it. And that was the last time I bought a demo disc. I bought that. It was like $5, $6 for that.
Wow. Yeah, I remember too, PlayStation 2 demo discs was actually how I found out what Okami was, because I can't remember the edition. I'll have to look it up. I think it was on a couple different, I think it was on like maybe 2 other demo discs, but I remember, but it was like the same one, but like I saw this demo for like Okami. I was like, oh, this game looks pretty interesting. So I booted that shit up. And I just played through it. I just kept playing through it. And then I heard when the game was going to come out. And then I traded in like a handful of games just so I could buy this game at GameStop. Like, I was reliving my childhood. It's just, it got me all nostalgic, man. Shit. It's midnight. It's like past midnight for me. I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking about all these memories I have in my PlayStation 2.
Yeah, it was a great system. You know, it was a fantastic system. You're never going to see another one like that again, you know?
For me, what happened with Okami is that me at the time I was still getting the PlayStation magazine. That's PSM. That was the unofficial one, and that was the awesome one because that one had the really awesome art by comic artists. No. Well, no, PSM is still around, but it's not the way it used to be. Back in those days, they actually used to get comic book artists to do the covers for the thing. So like you had guys like Joe Madd and like Jim Lee and Scott Campbell.
Interesting. I don't know. This is a different texture type of cover. It was like a harder.
It was a thicker quality sort of paper.
I think it was by the same
guys who did Game Fan. But anyway, it was that thing. And I for Okami, I knew that that game was coming out, and I was really excited for that. And I pre-ordered it, and that was the one that came with the it came with a lot of games. You know, pre-order bonuses were a little sort of rare at that point, and that one came with like a little art kit where you could, you know, you could literally just, it was like, forgot what it's called, but it's like one of those things you can buy at a store where it's an inkless paper. So you can, it came with a brush that you just water, and then as soon as you touch the paper with the water, it would instantly look like ink. So you could draw, you could do like your own ink drawings on it, which was kind of fun.
By the way, did anybody have the eye toy?
Yes, I did. Oh man!
Well, can you tell us about it? Because we're getting questions about it in the chat.
Okay, so I mean, where do I begin? So I had like a small library of like iToy games because like I just played the shit out of those games. But I remember I saw like the commercials for it and I was like, what the fuck is this thing? And I told my mom I really wanted one for Christmas, so you know she got me one for Christmas. I will say it was such a pain in the ass, like because like it had like a weird base. And you had to put it like on a flat surface. So it's like you couldn't necessarily like put it on the top of your TV and the top of your TV was like thin as shit or whatever. Yeah. But I guess back then they were kind of some thick boys out there. But, you know, it had the camera wasn't really all that great. But I guess in retrospect, also the quality wasn't all that. But I remember there's this one game. It was like Sega, I think Superstars. I played so much of that. Like there was like a whole bunch of just like different like Sega mini games. Like you could have like a virtual little Chao pet. It was like it was kind of like that Chao mini game with that was in like Sonic Advance.
But, oh
like,
shit! Like,
yeah, it was kind of yeah. It's kind of like that. And you could like buy toys for it and stuff, and like you could pet it. And there was like they had like a bunch of like iToy-esque games, which now that I think more and more about it, they were really kind of like over glorified tech demos to show like, oh yeah, this is how the iToy works. But Sega Superstars was like such a fun game. Like there was like the Samba D'Amigo game. It's like you could get a workout from that. It was like everybody, like remember how like when the Wii was like a big, was just like a crazy thing. It was like, yeah, I want to lose weight with the Wii. Like, I was like the iToy walked so that the Wii could run, in my opinion. Like I got quite a workout. Like there was like this. So not all the games were good, and like I can say like it was very hard to kind of like configure the iToy because it's like you had to position yourself in the right frame and you had to make sure that you configured it so that like whenever every time you like did a command like it would register correctly, and it was really annoying, and you had to constantly do it every time like you set it up. I believe I can't remember, it's been like what years, I've never played an iToy in like goddamn long. But it was a nice concept, but it was a pain to use. But I liked the idea, and it definitely has like stuck around vicariously through like the PlayStation camera. Because let's face it, Sony really just doesn't know how to put like the base on. Doesn't really know how to have their cameras really sit on a base. But I don't know. The PS5's camera looks like it actually might sit where it needs to be. But I don't know. I just feel like the iToy was an interesting concept. But I'm glad that somebody asked it in the chat because a lot of people don't talk about the iToy. Yeah. And it wasn't terrible. I mean, there wasn't a lot of games that supported it, but the few games that I did play, they were pretty fun. I mean, I remember one game I played. It was kind of like, I think it was like iToy Play. And there was like this like one mini game that I think you had to like beat up a bunch of people. And I don't know, it kind of reminded me of like Fruit Ninja in a weird way. And there was like a window washing game. And again, going back to like Sega Superstars, there was like a House of the Dead game where it's like you just punch the shit out of the zombies.
That's crazy.
But again, it was hard. It was a pain in the ass to play. I'm going to send you some videos, Tony, of it because it's like a really
yeah, sure.
But that again, like, awesome. It was a pain in the ass to configure because it's like if you didn't configure it right, sometimes like when you did something, it wouldn't register or it would do the issue. Like it was awful to use, but I liked the concept and the whole idea of just like how it was like, oh, computer vision, and like it recognizes your gestures to do certain actions in a game. Like it was ahead of its time. I wish that it was a little bit more polished, but what can you do? There wasn't really, they didn't have really competition in that space for it. So I was like, they could really kind of just do this and be like, okay, we have this, you don't need to use it. But you know, it was kind of cute. It looked like a little mini camera. It was adorable.
Yeah, this is fun. By the way, shout out to Hungry for Hot Pocket. That's a great name, man. He says, I remember playing the iToy game where you have to like balance the spinning plates.
Oh, yes. That was a... Oh, God, I hated that game. It was frustrating.
Yeah, that's crazy. By the way, and Carlos, maybe you can help me with this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Hip Hop Gamer start using an iToy or something? Isn't that how he got it started? Was that just a PlayStation?
Yeah, PlayStation i.
Yeah, yeah, that's how he started.
He has the PlayStation. Well, that's, to be honest, that was my first the PlayStation i was my first web camera when we're doing Throwdown.
Oh wow!
I didn't have a webcam.
Wow.
Yeah. That was back in the day when. Yeah, well, that wasn't an iToy. I think it was just like hip hop. It was PlayStation i. I that was
used. Yeah, that's what hip hop used. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the iToy, okay. Yeah, exactly like you said. But it's you know, kind of fun how he started that. Now he's all big time. You know, but hey, got to start somewhere, right? Anyway, any other memories you guys want to share about the PlayStation Deuce? Because we could probably go all night. You know.
Honestly, we could. I got work.
So it's a good time to wrap it up. We pretty much went through everything here. So Taylor, thank you for being on. Please plug your stuff. Where can people find you?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Tay Nixter. That is TayNixster. Or if you just want to check out my work, I'm over at TheVerge.com.
Awesome stuff. All right, guys, a couple of things here. So we are going to be launching, or have launched by the time you guys are listening and watching this, Next Gen November, people. So starting with episode 309 of Throwdown. Actually, that's when we're going to give our first game away. So yeah, basically every Thursday of November, except for the last week of November, it's going to be a Wednesday, we're going to be giving away a free game. There's going to be more details in the video. That's going to be, again, either going to be up or is up for you guys right now. And we have all the details for you. Another contest. So, there's going to be four lucky people this month. They're going to be getting new games from us, from Throwdown, you know. So it should be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. And that's going to do it for us, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube and join the Discord. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. And you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez. Oh, you're muted.
Oh, am I muted now?
Nope.
Oh, yep. See you later, guys. Yay.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real, party people.
Brian Monjoma.
It's hard to believe that the PS2 memory card was only 16 megabytes. That's smaller than most game saves these days.
That's crazy.
Mm. I have a game save that's over a gig.
That's crazy. And Taylor Lyles.
Long live the PlayStation 2.
Yes. All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday. Peace out.